man.
Wow. That's good. That's good now. Yeah, yeah. Good, good. As the stampede is taking place. Yes. Excellent. Amen. Thank God for so many children. The opportunity to influence children to me is vital. It's excellent to be able to influence young lives so when they become older lives, they will influence the nation. I really love it. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning, but praise God, just to start out with, for the testimony this morning of a life that's been affected by the Word of God. I think we come to the house of God not just to hear good stories, or not just to be made to laugh, but we come to the house of God that His Word might change us. And I pray that as we come in on a regular basis on a Sunday, even in your own personal study time, that when you leave that experience, you'll be different than when you first got there. Because that's really what it's all about, amen? The Bible says in Romans 8 that He wants us to be conformed into the same image as Jesus Christ. Yeah. And so with that in mind, I'm going to talk to you this morning about something that I've been pondering, and it's called We Need to Be Authentic. We need to be authentic. Authentic. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would help me to share what I know you put on my heart. God, you interrupted me when I had something else in mind and you put this on my heart. So I pray, God, you'd give me the ability to declare it with clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I was actually preparing something else to share about the way we place value on things. And in our society, we place value dependent upon how things look to us. If something looks good, then we place value upon it. We go and buy homes based on what the home looks like. We buy food based on what the food looks like. We buy cars based on what the car looks like. We even choose mates based on what they look like. I'm glad my wife is not in the room. That means I can talk about her with liberty. When I first saw her, the thing that attracted me to Ms. Lisa is she was fine. Amen. When I saw her, I was like, yeah. That girl is fine. So I tried to play a role. You know, you do what you got to do and how you do it. Because with your eyesight, something has, you have been attracted because of the way it looks. And I tell you what, I it's really easy to be fooled by our own eyes. Really easy to misunderstand something that's standing in front of you because you only look at it based on what you see. Oh yeah. Many years ago, I was invited to go to a church in London, and I looked at the website of the church. And according to the church, the website, it was like, it was popping. Everything was happening. They had all kinds of ministries. The music was the bomb. So I was looking forward to going down there, not only to speak, but to just have a blessed time with the fellowship with the people. But when I got there, they were not in their own building, as the website suggested. They were meeting in a school. And there were 25 people in the congregation. Not that that meant anything. It's just the website was saying something else. It wasn't authentic. Mm-hmm. And I think if we really look at this today with reality and look at it with truth in our own hearts, the whole intention of Jesus gathering us together as we would become an authentic representation of him. My daughters are authentic. We're talking about my girls. See, they are authentic representations of me and Lisa. Tall. Lisa's not that tall, but she's tall. We're tall. They're tall. They look like us. They have the same types of movements in physicality. My wife is amazed about my oldest daughter because obviously I don't see, you know, she saw my oldest daughter bathe, and she said, "Vince, you ain't gonna believe this, but she washes herself exactly the way you do." And we have obviously never seen each other. But yet, she washes and scrubs herself exactly the way you do. Now, how is that? Because she's authentic to where she's come from. She is not an imitation. She is an original. Your born-again experience should not have been an imitation experience. It should have been an original experience, which has brought the authenticity of God into your life. Which means you should be now an authentic representation of who he is. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today, because that's what's on my mind and on my heart. I think it's something that we need to hear. And as I was preparing, he brought that word to mind, authentic. He was just ringing it in my spirit, authentic. How would you feel if you spent thousands of dollars on a ring for your wife, brothers, and it was told to you that this is an authentic 24 carat da 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 ring, and you brought it to your wife, gave it to her, and you know, you leave that situation proud. Yeah, look what I done did. Mm-hmm. I hooked her up. And as soon as you walked away, the diamond fell out of the clasp thing, out of the holder. I think you'd be a little bit upset, wouldn't you? Or you got, yeah, I know you, well, I know, yeah. You ladies would be upset. You buy some nice pair of shoes, fellas, some shoes like Prada shoes or something like that. And you go and you know you're feeling good because you got yourself on some Prada shoes. You're walking around, talking to people. You know how you do. You stick that foot out so that you can see your Prada shoes. And within a week, they start to unravel. You'd be a little bit upset, wouldn't you? Because you know that those aren't Prada shoes. Mm-hmm. I think in the heart of God, when he invested into us what he has invested, he invested into us what he thinks and what he believes to be authentic. And he wants what he has invested into us to remain authentic. He doesn't want to be fake. Well, how you doing, darling? Don't y'all say anything now, please. Now, authentic, the definition for authentic is of undisputed origin, not a copy, genuine. The letter is now accepted. An example is, the letter is now accepted as an authentic document, the original. And for us British people, pucker pies, which means the original pies. Okay, and so we're talking authentic stuff. And God wants us to be authentic, not impersonators, not imitators, But he wants us to be authentic. You know what the Bible and the New Testament, they talk about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were talking about imitators. People who were not authentic in their relationship with God. They gave a religious view, a religious presentation, but they were not authentically related to Jesus. When Jesus died, he provided us a way to become authentic in our relationship with him. To drop the pretense and take on the real.
Amen.
Authentic relationship. Authentic presentation. If I have an authentic relationship, I'll have an authentic presentation. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
And so I want to help us out today. There's a second definition for that. And it comes in the context of church music. Believe it or not, when you look up the definition of authentic, it comes in the context of a church music in which it has the beginning of one note to, I don't want to missay this, it has containing notes beginning at the principal note and concluding with the final note, which is usually an octave higher than the principal note. Am I right? Yeah, I like it, you know, you get it right, you know. That means I did some authentic study. Am I right? The principal note and the final note, and between the two, there is something called an octave. It's called an octave between. So what we see is that between these notes, everything is in harmony. So, if I am authentic, I will be in harmony.
Amen.
With Jesus.
Amen.
God. If I sing a certain thing, it'll be the thing that he is singing. Oh, somebody needs to hear me here. If I'm singing something, it should have started out with something that he is singing.
Amen.
And my singing is in harmony.
Amen.
With Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's the big, that's what authentic, being authentic is all about. I'm not going to do or say anything that is not in harmony with what he will do and what he will, hear me, beloved. If I'm going to do anything, it's going to look like Jesus. It's going to sound like Jesus, and it'll have the impact that Jesus wants it to have.
Amen.
It'll be like him. And you can tell when something is not in tune. That's not authentic. It's off tune. Yeah. Yo, Brother Ben, I don't like Brother Joel. You know I really don't like Brother Joel. Brother Joel, Brother Ben thinks he's something. He ain't really not. That ain't in tune with the song that Jesus sings.
Amen.
You can't tell me
Amen.
That that's okay.
Amen.
Because that's not the song Jesus is singing. You know, we have a lot of stuff that goes out there today. And we say, we eject people. If people don't fulfill or fill up to a certain standard, we reject them out of a relationship. And you hear a lot of people preaching that. Let me tell you something. Jesus, in your sin, came to where you were.
Amen.
And worked with you until you repented of your sin. And he made sure that he stayed with you. Didn't give up on you. He stayed with you. He worked with you. He loved you until you were picked you up. And he turned you around and brought change into your life. We should never be those kind of people that sing like that. We sing a new song. Listen to me. Are you with me so far? So, Can I just tell you, in Matthew 16, I need to take liberty with this scripture just for a moment. Can you just, I'm just going to take a little liberty. In Matthew 16, you remember Jesus said to Peter, "To you, I give you the keys of the kingdom." Now, I know he's talking about keys, but just indulge me. Maybe he's talking about musical notes too, because they come on the keys. And he says, "Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Isn't that what he said? See, you know why I think music is powerful? Because it can do things that just regular words can't do. It can just soften the hearts of people that regular words aren't able to do. But you can sing a note and bring about a change in somebody's life. We were singing just a minute ago. Did you sense how the atmosphere changed? And we said, "King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high." No, y'all ain't listening. But I know you understand what I'm saying. That when you sing, and certainly I think that when God said, "I'm going to give you the keys," he's not just talking about keys. He's talking about whatever it is you need to stay in line with me, so that what I'm singing in heaven, what I'm doing in heaven, can be done down here. We're talking about demonstration. See, isn't that right, brother? He said, "I don't come to you with wise words of men's wisdom. I come to with you with a demonstration of the Spirit and power." And that's what the church has lacked over the years. We don't need a lot of talk anymore. We need to see the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. There needs to be power moving in a way it hasn't moved before. We need to see things change. Are you hearing me? I tell you what, when I had my encounter with God, it was a power encounter. 29 years ago, July 23rd, 1987. In a little church in Reading, when I went in there full of marijuana and alcohol, acting like a wild man, going to the church because I need a little feel good. I grew up in church. I knew where I needed to go to get a little feel good about myself. So I walk into the church and there's a man who's not talking to me stuff that will make me feel good. He's talking to me stuff that's going to bring liberty to my life. He's telling me the truth. And beloved, if you want to know what's going to make you happy, what's going to give you freedom, you got to hear the truth. The Bible says you will know the truth, and it's the truth that will make you free. I stood in there and that man said, "You don't have to pretend anymore. You can have the reality of Jesus tonight. Yeah, I know you want to go back home and smoke your weed and drink your liquor, but I'm telling you, I can tell you about a spirit that runs from a man's veins, which never shall run dry. And if you take hold of what I'm giving you today, there's going to be a change in your life. It will be real. It won't be pretend. It won't be something imitated. It'll be the authentic thing." I got the authentic thing 29 years ago. He saved me. Listen to me, brother. Can I emphasize that to you? He saved me. I didn't come into some religious act or activity. I got saved. Set free. Okay, now, he said that whatsoever you bind. So we could be talking about a song. And I'm going to tell you, you can't sing or be in harmony with heaven while you're still bound. I said you cannot sing in harmony with heaven while you're still bound. Psalm 137 says this. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." The psalmist replied, "How shall we sing the Lord's song when we're in a strange land?" If there's an aspect of your life that you're bound to, it's almost impossible to sing in harmony with heaven until you have liberty from the thing that you're bound. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? There's got to be some freedom in your life before you can sing in harmony with him. And so that's what the psalmist said in Psalm 137. Now, I want to take you somewhere else. Now, it is important that we be authentic. Now, I want to say this again. It's important that we be authentic because the world recognizes Jesus based on our presentation.
Yep.
They look at us, and their only understanding or recollection of Jesus is based on what they see of us who bear the name Christian. Mm-hmm. We have the name Christian. That means I'm not going to act like them. I shouldn't act like them. I shouldn't talk like them. I shouldn't do the things they do. My conversation, my activity should resemble Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on. Somebody just talk back to me for a minute. Yeah, come on. Preach, bro. Come on. Because that's the way it is. They're going to look at us. See, they look at my daughters and they don't have to question whether or not they're ours. They can see the authenticity. Somebody said they got Lisa's good looks and your height. That's a compliment, baby. They got your looks and my height. I used to argue for years that it was the other way around. But nobody accepted that. But nobody can question their authenticity. Everybody looks at you and we carry the name of Christian. Nobody should question the authenticity of Christ in your life. I want you to go to Acts chapter 11 now, and I'm going to probably get close to finishing. Acts chapter 11. And then I want to do something in a minute right after that. Acts chapter 11. We're not going to be very long at all now. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "And when they had found him, they brought him to Antioch." Talking about Barnabas and Saul. "So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." They were first called Christians in Antioch. They didn't call them Christians anywhere else in the book of Acts or the New Testament, except when they came to this conclusion in Antioch. Now, I wonder why. And the Bible will tell you that there were many things, many theologians will tell you there were many things that were taking place in Antioch at this time. People were being set free. Witches were being set free. And that's good news because of the holiday that we have coming up now and the many witches I know that are out there. It's good news to know that they can be set free too. And here you are right here, and suddenly, out of the blue, they call all of these believers Christians. And that's encouraging, because you know what Christ means. See, some of us can think, well, they called them Christians because they were just troublemakers, like the rest of those Christians. So we can think it was a derogatory response to what was happening. They called them Christians because they just get on my nerve. They're annoying people. They just like that Jesus person. So we can conclude that it was some derogatory thought that they had towards them, and they called them that because they were upset with them. They were causing problems for them. Especially for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which claim to know God, but yet here these unlearned, ignorant men are demonstrating God. And so, what's going to happen? Why call it Christians? And you know, because it was derogatory. It was a derogatory thing. They got on my nerves and get on my nerves. They're Christians. Now that's one view. There's another view which I hold to, because Christ means anointed one. And Christians, believe it or not, means anointed ones. Yeah. See, so they saw what they were doing. They saw the change that they were introducing. They saw the lives that were being turned around. And they gathered that everything they're doing resembles Jesus. What they're saying is like Jesus would say. They're laying hands on the sick, and the sick are recovering like Jesus did. They're not talking about heaven like Jesus. They're bringing heaven down to earth where I am. And that's how they became Christians, because they were authentic in their relationship. I love it when you think about it. I don't know about you, but he said that they are anointed ones. That means every one of us in here can be people that can do the same thing that they were doing in the book of Acts. And you know how I know that? If you look at the New Testament and you look at the epistles, at the end of every epistle, you will find this word, amen. At every epistle, you will find this word, amen. Not at the end of the book of Acts, which means the book of Acts has not yet concluded. Yeah. See, we're supposed to be still doing what was happening in the book of Acts. Because we're Christians, we have an authenticity. So what does it take to happen? Let me give you three things real quickly. Number one, what qualities of Jesus, first of all, what qualities of Jesus made him like that? And what qualities will make us the same way? Number one, make becoming like him your priority. Did you hear me? Make becoming like him your priority. Romans 8:28, he has preordained that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, his son. God wants us to be like Jesus. His whole intent is for you to become like his son.
Amen.
You were born again into a family with authentic word, authentic relationship. He wants that relationship. He wants the personality of Jesus to become your personality. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So he wants you to become making Jesus, becoming like him, your priority. Okay? Measure your progress by your works. Measure your progress in that journey by your works. You know how you do that? You know if what you're doing resembles what Jesus would do, don't you? We know it. We don't have to play no games. Can we be real? We know when we're doing the right thing and when we're not doing the right thing. I know I do. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to and put no religious camouflage over it. Oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord on that. No, you ain't. You're trying to keep an excuse for not doing the right thing. Oh, I'm going to wait. I feel led. I'm gonna wait. When I feel led, then I'm going to do it. No, no, you ain't never going to do it because you don't want to. Talk about you got to feel led. I got some lead. I go to my garage and pull a piece of lead out there and give it to you. And you can feel that and then do what's right. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? We just don't want to do it. We have this resistance. Listen, the Bible says that the flesh is at enmity with the Spirit of God. In us, all of us, inherently, there's this resistance to doing the right thing. But you have got to speak to your flesh and say, not today. You will submit to the will of God. And we're going to press on with the plan that God has for our life. We got to do it. It's called crucifying the flesh. You got to kill it down. Put them down. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but you got to do it. Yeah, you got to do it. So, that's the third thing. So you measure your progress. First, you make becoming like him. See, the moment you make becoming like him your priority, then all kinds of stuff is going to start showing up in your life. Yes? It'll start showing up. You don't have to, we like to go, oh, bro, we go to the man of God or the woman of God, and there's this big conference going on, and we run to a man of God, woman of God, pray for me. Give me a word. You got a word. You know the word you got. You just don't want to hear the word. You want to do what you want to do. But the moment we submit to what God is telling us, you won't need anybody to tell you anything. God will tell you for himself. He'll talk to you and he'll bring about a change. Believe me, I am going to get to my man cave. Let me tell you something. See, it's real easy to not do what you don't want to do. How many of you, when you were growing up and your mom and your dad kept telling you to do something, you wouldn't do it? Yeah. The more they said something, the more you wouldn't do it? That's proof right there. But we have got to do the thing that God is showing us to do. If it doesn't sing, if it's not in harmony with him, then stop singing the song. Sing a change of tune. Finally, we got to value relationships. And I want to ask you this question. Do I sacrifice for relationships, or does it always have to be my way? Ouch. I see people hopping because I know I'm stepping on some corns. Ouch. Do I sacrifice for relationships, or does it always have to be my way? We use this terminology a lot. My way or the highway. You know what I love about Jesus? Is that he thought about you first before he thought of himself. That's the authenticity of being like him and becoming like him. I've got to learn to think of my wife. Listen, this December, 38 years. 20 years ago, it should have been done. But God gave us grace, and here we are, 38 years. But I am still learning that I have got to put her first before myself. And that is a hard thing to do, but you have got to do it. The Bible not only goes further than that. He says, I have to put Ben. I have to look on his concerns before I concern myself with my own. Oh, boy, y'all ain't going to like this. I know you ain't going to like it, but that's okay. If you try to hang in there, it'll bring change to your life. I have to be more concerned about Ben than I'm concerned about myself. I have to be more concerned about Anne Marie than I am concerned about myself. So much so, I'm so concerned that I'll say something to them or to you or to her that they may not like, but it is beneficial for them because I'm concerned. What does that mean? What are you talking about, Vince? When we have that kind of attitude, when we are looking and more concerned with one another than all ourselves, what kind of atmosphere do you think that's going to build at Lake Neath ALC? An atmosphere of liberty, an atmosphere of power, an atmosphere where anything is possible. I want to see people. I don't want to see people walk into the church and they come to church and they've been struggling all day and then they leave church in the same condition. People come into church sick and they leave sick. I don't want to see that. I want to see Jesus touch every need, amen, meet every need, and bring change to every person. Amen. That's the authentic gospel. This morning, I know there are people who are probably not in tune with Jesus. You've not been singing the same tune. You've been singing your own tune. It's been a tune. It's probably been more selfish than benevolent and concerned about others. It's all been your own song. This morning, we want to see God change your tune. So I'm going to ask you, if you're in this place and you know who I'm talking to, wherever you may be, can I just get you to do me a favor? Mm-hmm. Because this is not time. We don't want you to feel embarrassed. We want you to be empowered. If that's you and you know you've been singing out of tune, that's you, then I just want you to stand where you are, right where you are. Stand. Don't wait for anybody. You know you. And you know where you are. You stand. Just about every pastor has a burden that they know they're going to have to stand before the judgment seat with. It is that everybody that they stood, has stood under their ministry, they have did their best to teach them the truth and to speak the truth. Sometimes it's not easy, but it brings change if you receive it. And I just pray right now that every one of you standing, Father, in the name of Jesus, these brothers and sisters that are standing, I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that, God, you would enable them to sing the song in heaven. That you would enable them to sing the song that is in harmony with your song. And, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would empower them, God, to do more than they've been able to do before. And because of their courage to open up and say, God, here I am. I want to do the right thing from this point on. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you would empower them to do exactly that. To do the right thing in which you can bring glory and honor to your name. We thank you for them, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray your blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. Amen. As the worship team comes, you know, I think that is my desire. My desire, we're not looking for, we're looking to see people grow and become something God wanted them to become in the start. That they would develop into the people that he's always had in mind. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We want to see you walk in your works. Amen. Amen. God bless you.